Let's read together Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is a hymn of praise to God for his wonderful works of creation and his wonderful plans for mankind. Psalm 8, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 8, with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that Psalm 8 is not only a psalm of praise by David, but it is a hymn of praise because it was for the choir director. On the Gittith, probably refers to a musical instrument or musical tune that had some connection or association with the town of Gath. Gath, remember, was one of the five major Philistine cities and the one from which Goliath had come from. Some Bible students have even suggested that in view of verse 2, David may have been thinking of his victory over Goliath when he wrote this psalm. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. David may have been thinking about his victory over Goliath. So in view of verse 2 that we just read, God used David's youth and few simple words and little slingshot to bring down the mighty Goliath and the whole Philistine army. Psalm 8 is a wonderful hymn of praise for God's wonderful works of creation and his great and wonderful plans for mankind. And Psalm 8 is also clearly a messianic psalm because it is quoted three times in the New Testament, all in reference to Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, after the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then his entrance into the temple courts, we read in Matthew chapter 21, where the Lord quotes from Psalm 8 and verse 2. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant, and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Have you never read, and now comes the quote, from Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. From Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 8 and verse 6 when he writes, For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. There's your quote from Psalm 8:6. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. The third quote of Psalm 8 is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, where the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 8, verses 5 and 6. To show that the Lord Jesus is greater than the angels, even though he became man. Quote, But one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man, that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. From Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Now notice that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 says, lower than the angels. While some of your translations in Psalm 8, verse 5, have lower than God. This is because the Hebrew word here in Psalm 8, 5 is Elohim, which can be translated God or gods or angels. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, has lower than the angels. And that is what the author of Hebrews quotes. A full discussion of this matter is quite involved, but I'm inclined to say that when an inspired New Testament author quotes from the Septuagint, then that is the text and translation to go with. So thus we have read Psalm 8, verse 5 as lower than the angels. What does it mean that man was made a little lower than the angels? Man was created in the image of God, but right now man is subjected to limitations that angels are not subject to. The law of gravity, for example, does not limit angels in their travels. And of course, angels don't die, but man does die. The point that the author of Hebrews is making is that the eternal Son of God became true man in the incarnation and lower than the angels at that time in order to do the work of redemption. But that does not make him inferior to the angels. No, the eternal Son of God was and is and will be forever greater than the angels, even though he became man and remains fully man and fully God forever. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for Psalm 8. Doctrine point number one, the Lord is majestic in his works of creation. The Lord is majestic in his works of creation. Let me ask you, did you ever look up on a cloudless night and marvel at God's creation? That's probably what David was thinking here in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. Notice that he doesn't mention the sun, because he is probably thinking of the nighttime sky. David most likely was not aware of the concept of light years as we are. And thus, our sense of awe of God's creation should be even greater as we gaze at the innumerable stars, many of which in reality are whole galaxies. Notice that all this is the work of God's fingers. Wow, we have a big God. Now, there is no idea in the Bible that God is the universe or that the universe is God. No. God is the creator of the universe. He is above the heavens, verse 1. The universe is the creative work of his fingers, verse 3. And nothing was random about the origin of the universe. It was ordained, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, how can intelligent people believe that the universe created itself out of nothing? Or how can they believe that the overwhelming amount of intricate design in this universe came about by chance after a big bang? Talk about kissing your brains goodbye. Why, even little children know things don't just create themselves out of nothing. Children, verse 2, honor God when they acknowledge that the universe has a creator. By the way, did you hear about the young child of an atheist couple who said to his parents, "Hey, Dad and Mom, do you think that God knows that we don't believe in him?" Seriously speaking, you have to be willfully blind to deny that there is a powerful and awesome creator and designer behind this vast universe. The Lord is majestic in his works of creation. And doctrinal point number two, the Lord is marvelous in his plans for mankind. The Lord is marvelous in his plans for mankind. Did you ever see a "you are here" diagram or model of the universe? From the human perspective, we are just a speck of dust on a speck of a planet in one of the arms of a galaxy containing billions of stars larger than our sun, and our galaxy is just one of billions of galaxies. We can certainly identify with David's question of verse 4, can't we? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you visit him or care for him, are mindful of him. What's the answer to this question? The answer is that from the divine perspective, mankind is very significant and important. We have been created in the image of God and crowned with glory and honor. Verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Mankind has been given dominion over the other works of God's creation, including the animal kingdom. Verses 6 through 8, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Now, obviously, this does not give mankind the right to abuse or destroy what God has made. No. Man is to care for and protect what God has created, including the environment. But man can wisely use this earth's resources for living, including trees for lumber and oil for fuel and animals for food. Man was given dominion over this earth, not vice versa. Because of sin, mankind has not properly cared for this world as God intended. However, when the perfect man returns to this earth in power and glory, things will be set right, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, where this psalm is quoted in reference to Christ. But the last Adam, our Lord himself, 1 Corinthians 15, 45, will show forth all that God intended for man on this earth. And all believers will share in that glorious reign of Christ on this earth, where all things will be in subjection to him. And we will certainly sing at that time the first and last verses of this hymn of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The Lord is marvelous in his plans for mankind. Practical application for Psalm 8. Remember the big businessman and his baby illustration. Remember the big businessman and his baby illustration. If ever the question of how small you are in this vast universe bothers you, remember this illustration. Think of a very powerful and wealthy businessman with holdings and interests all over the world. This tycoon travels the globe and meets with world leaders and is involved in international negotiations that affect world economy and global politics. Now think of a small baby in a small town, somewhere far away from the international travels and important meetings of the big businessman. The small baby is such an insignificant person compared to the vast world of the big businessman, except for one fact. The baby is his child, his pride and joy. What a difference that makes in the significance and importance of this small baby in the small town to the big businessman with global travels and international meetings. Do you see the illustration? Remember the big businessman and his baby illustration.